You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Well, the droughts in Texas were already devastating months ago, and now they've caused wildfires which have become deadly. Two people have died. Hundreds of homes, and I mean over 500, have been destroyed. Thousands of people have had to evacuate. Presidential hopeful Texas Governor Rick Perry cut his campaigning short to return to Texas to deal with it. We're joined now by Tom Bogus, director of the Texas Forest Service, and he's joining us from a command post in Bastrop, Texas. Tom, I understand that Bastrop is perhaps the worst area right now for wildfires. Is that the case?
Yes, ma'am. It's bad here. It's all bad in Central Texas, throughout up and down Central Texas. But Bastrop has been hit hardest with the largest fire, with the most destruction.
How many acres are on fire in Texas right now?
In Texas right now, over the last 2 days, we've had about 85,000 to 90,000 acres on fire. And in Bastrop alone, it was 25,000 acres.
Is it too early at this point even to talk about how much is contained?
Yes. Very little of it is contained. We've had really high winds. Of course, we've been in a record drought, as you mentioned, and we've had very high winds, so you kind of were very defensive. You had to just protect homes and lives and get people out of the way, and the weather and the fires were in control for the last 2 days. But the wind has died down now, and today should be a much better day. We should be able to be more aggressive with our firefighting tactics, and hopefully we'll start getting a handle on many of these fires today.
Tom Bogus is the director of the Texas Forest Service, speaking to us from a command post in Bastrop, Texas. Tom, I hope you and your firefighters stay safe.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you this morning.
Thanks. Also with us is Pete Bonds, who you may remember, we actually spoke to him back in July. He is speaking to us from his cattle ranch in Fort Worth, Texas. Pete, it's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Well, good morning.
I wish we were talking about something else. I remember when we spoke before, the last thing we said is that we wished for rain, and unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Have you had any rain at all?
Right here on this ranch in Fort Worth, we've caught a little bit of rain, but out west and south, we haven't. We were praying for that tropical storm that hit Louisiana to come on in here. You know, they don't need 10, 15 inches. It'd take 10 inches to settle the dust here.
Well, Pete, the last time we spoke to you, you were trying to find a place to take your cattle. Can you tell us whether you found a place for the cattle to go where there's living grass?
We did not on that trip. However, we did find some country in Georgia and some in Kansas to send some cattle to. And also right down there on the Louisiana-Texas border, they've had a little bit of rain there, and we found a ranch there to send some more to.
So you saved all of your cattle?
No, ma'am, not yet.
How many cattle are at risk at this point?
Oh, probably another 1,000.
And, I mean, is there? I hate to bring it up because it's got to be a painful subject, but at this point, how bad are your losses?
Ma'am, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it has been in the past when you see these kind of droughts. Hamburger meat is extremely high in the grocery store, and these cow prices for slaughter are high. I mean, it's nothing you want to do because this thing is set up to be a very, very good market, and you just hate to sell the factories. But at least when you do have to sell them, they bring more than what they have in the past.
We're speaking with Pete Bonds, who's a cattle rancher in Fort Worth, Texas. Pete, your herd is normally about 6,000 cattle?
Yes, ma'am. For cows, yes, ma'am. Then we run a lot more yearlings and feed a lot of cattle, too.
All right. So, I mean, we all think of Texas as the place for cattle and oil. Is cattle ranching still big business for your state?
Yes, ma'am. We're the largest cattle producers in the United States. I cannot tell you the billions of dollars that it produces into the economy, but it's multi-billions. The beef does not come from the grocery store. It starts out here on these ranches, and we're still running cattle like we used to. We still get on the horseback, gather them, and they're still out grazing grass where there is grass.
Well, let's talk about the grass that you need to keep a herd like that alive. How much water, for example, does a cow drink in one day? How much grass do they eat?
She drinks about 20 gallons, and that's another problem right now since we have talked. A lot of this area of Texas does not have underground water. and we depend on surface water tanks or ponds, and those are starting to dry up or have dried up, and a lot of cows are having to be moved or slaughtered because basically they're either out of water or the tanks have gotten so low they've gotten boggy, and the cattle will bog down in the mud trying to get to them, which you have to fence them off, and basically that means there's no water there.
But at this point, you're not at risk from any of the wildfires?
Right now, none of our country is. But I know some people that are in harm's way on it. In fact, a guy called me last night wanting to know if I knew anybody that had any extra spraying machines and to get a bunch of cowboys down there to help try to fight it. He was down around Navarro County.
Well, we're speaking with Pete Bonds, who's a cattle rancher in Fort Worth, Texas. And as I mentioned before, the last time we spoke with you, Pete, you were looking for a place to take your cows. I'm wondering how long you can go at this point without rain.
Ma'am, I don't know. We're kind of a tough breed down here, and there's some other options. We may be able to lock these cows up in a feed yard and feed them, trying to get them through the winter and see if it will rain next spring. There's a lot of options that we have. One thing, it's really got to the point now to where more important than rain is knowing when it's going to start raining. We can make a lot better business decisions if we knew, you know, when this drought was going to break. And if it's going to be as dry as it is today as it is next year, then our best option would be to slaughter these cows. We just hope and pray it's not.
Well, is there a deadline, a date for that, to make that decision?
No, ma'am, we're going, not really. We're putting it off as long as we can, just to see we'll probably have to make that decision by next month, and I'm sure we're going to have to, if we do have to go into the feed yard with some cows, I'm sure we're going to have to slaughter more cows. And also what we're doing, too, is on these ranches that do have grass, we're going in there and culling these herds a lot harder than what normal.
Yeah, that's understandable. Pete Bonds, cattle rancher from Fort Worth, Texas, trying to figure out what to do with this herd. Thank you so much again, Pete.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.